This was really a poor choice to come back with. I couldn't have found a more low-energy bumper than this. Boy, it says, I'll take 10 beats a minute for 1,000.
Way to go, Andy.
Good job. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Summertime blues, jump up and down in the blue suede shoes. Hey,
do you remember this being a good song?
I remember the 80s remake as being pretty cool. I don't have the Michael Damian. Do you have the Michael Damian version around? No? All right. Which is a way that's here. I guess if I was stoned, this would be a lot more interesting. It just sort of has, it just sort of goes nowhere.
You need a lava lamp to stir up.
Yeah, I can't. All right, no.
Jimmy Dean, James Dean.
When Christ was. All right, there we go. Is this the flip side? Yeah, this is the B. Of the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Please make way for the newsman, president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson radio program, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It almost happened again. As James King was found dead, another man was rescued from a similar situation. Lane County Sheriff's Office volunteers rescued a New Jersey man early yesterday whose rented SUV got stuck in the snow in a remote forest road near the Cascade Foothill community of Oak Ridge. 66-year-old Joseph Anstatt of Pennington, New Jersey, was heading from Eugene to Crater Lake on regular highways, but decided to take a shortcut. Don't do it.
Decided to take a shortcut.
Just after looking at a map.
Don't take shortcuts.
Just because the road is on the map, it doesn't mean take it. Elsewhere in the country, it's fine. Here in Oregon?
No.
Don't do it.
No, stay on the pavement. If the pavement ends, your trip is over. Turn around and go back whence ye came.
Volunteers found him at 2 a.m. Wednesday and helped free his rig. They led him to the road and sent him on his way.
His rig, like he's a long-haul trucker. Did you say this was a rented SUV?
Yep. He was found in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains hours before the body of James King of San Francisco was found in the Oregon Coast Range. The Kims, too, took that shortcut, but a different one. Anstatt followed the tracks of a truck. As he neared the Douglas County line, he got stuck in the snow, and he had no chains.
Yeah.
This is the winter, folks. The snow got deeper and crustier after he got stuck and couldn't move forward or backward. Anstatt then walked 6 miles to find a cell phone signal. He called 911. They returned to the truck. That was a smart move. Well, as smart as it got, anyway. At the truck, Anstatt had a shelter and some provisions. They found him at 2 o'clock in the morning and freed him by 4 a.m. He is alive and happy. Well, as happy as one can be, so.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, alive, if not terribly bright.
Well, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah. Really, what can you do? Really, you know, but you know what's going to happen. You know, this James King, James Kim thing is, I'm calling it right now. This is absolutely going to be used as a pretense for putting GPS systems in all of our vehicles. You know, and I don't mean to sound like Clyde Lewis, but you know exactly. They're going to go, well, this will stop, and they'll do it at a press conference, standing in front of a banner that says, like, freedom, 9/11. And then they'll have, like, the Weeping Kim woman with them. And the kids will be standing in there. And a guy will be standing behind a podium. And he'll be saying, from this day forward, families will never again. Now I'm doing it like Bush. Families will never again have to cope with the unimaginable tragedy of being lost. And a father going for help never to return. This program called It's amazing how well I can do this. Called the Safe Family Return Act will guarantee that your vehicle can be located in the event of an emergency. This small device.
And hello, Patriot Finder.
He will then the God spot. He'll then hold up a small snow globe like object, and he'll say, "This device will allow families to be located in the event that they are stranded in the woods or suffer other vehicular distress." From this, and then the crying wife will hand him like a gold pen, and he'll sign it, and then a guy will come and like stamp a barcode on your face. There you go.
Then they'll show up. Well, scrub white people in a call service center when they're actually sent to India somewhere.
Seriously.
And by somebody in a burqa.
I'm lost and I'm being devoured by fire ants. Okay, though, hold on. Page 55. Have you tried rebooting? Oh, damn, wrong book.
Unplug and plug back in.
Stereotypes. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for a Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
In an age of multi-million-dollar high-tech weapons, sometimes it's the simple things that save lives. Which is why a New Jersey mom is organizing a drive to send cans of silly string to Iraq.
Is this today's feel-good story about an American citizen standing up to help our boys?
Mm-hmm. Okay. American troops use the step to detect tripwires around bombs. Before entering a building, troops squirt the silly string, which can shoot about 10 to 12 feet across the room. If it falls to the ground, no trip wires. If it hangs in the air, they know they have a problem.
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, see, that's actually pretty legit. That's actually pretty great. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. If only my tax dollars were paying for the government to do it. If only it wasn't something to save military lives, it was having to be done by a goddamn housewife in New Jersey because the government won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. There's other things here. Soldiers put condoms and rubber bands around their rifle muzzles to keep out sand. And troops have welded old bulletproof windshields to the tops of Humvees to give gunners extra protection. They've dubbed it Pope's Glass, a reference to barriers that protect the Pope. After sending some cans of silly string to her 21-year-old son, Mrs. Schreiber enlisted the help of two priests and post notices around her church. And it's a newsletter. From there, the effort took off with money for silly string flowing in. Parishioners have been dropping cans into donation baskets. So, silly string for the holidays.
There you
troops,
go.
It does help. After meeting with President Bush in Washington, British Prime Minister Tony Blair said the only realistic plan to security is spreading liberty.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. The two were questioned about their reaction to the Iraq group study released yesterday, which is critical of policy. Blair said the Iraq report allows the U.S. and Britain to evolve their strategy.
Can you turn my computer up here?
Oh, yeah.
All right. This is what? This is Blair.
Number one, yeah. I think it is important now we concentrate on the elements that are necessary to make sure that we succeed, because the consequences of failure are severe.
Uh-huh. The president said the outside extremists are helping the Iraq extremists.
The primary beneficiaries are Sunni and Shia extremists, inside and outside of Iraq, who want chaos in that country so they can take control and further their ambitions to dominate the region.
And then we went to the place in California where you can drive through the middle of the tree. I did not know that trees were that large, and then I got a clown burger. I was very happy that it came with graham crackers and a small prize. The end. Hello. Thank you.
Tony Blair said the Iraq study group reports this is the right way forward.
Yeah.
We've got to get the right way forward.
Ka-ching!
When Baker Hamilton helps, in order that we have the practical policy that bolsters and gives effect to the vision. Because the vision is the right vision.
God damn, I got to get a job where I just sit in a room and come up with those. You know who should be doing that is Clyde, because Clyde is fantastic at naming things. All of the great stuff that we have named on this program, Clyde Lewis named almost all segments on this program. Band-Aid, Clyde Lewis came up with that. Sarah Dillon's Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon. That's Clyde. Or that bit that Scott Daly and I do where you act out a movie scene, making a scene. Clyde Lewis named that.
You just give him an idea and give him 5 minutes and he will come up with brilliance.
With a fantastic burger
he
cake.
Is so good.
Bouquet of bacon. Need I say more? Clyde really ought to have a job where he sits in a room and he comes up with, like, whatever, you know. What is this one? A Way Forward?
Yes,
A Way Forward. Yeah. So.
Yes, it's going to be a tough time and a difficult period in U.S. history.
The increase in sectarian attacks we're seeing in and around Baghdad are unsettling. It's led to much debate in both our countries about the nature of the war.
I'm sure that's exactly how the troops who are being injured refer to it, too, as unsettling. It's disconcerting in a mild sense.
At the same time, tens of thousands of civilians are slaughtered over there. We don't even have a tote board for that.
Well, that's just not important.
Well, they're in the way of democracy.
Of course. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. And Iraqis, Tim.
Well, they'll learn.
Democracy or else.
Meanwhile, when Tony Blair is away from his British home front, London is hit by a tornado.
I've seen, like, half of a house just collapse into the street. And there's mess everywhere. There's debris everywhere. You can hardly walk.
London, England?
Yeah. Al Gore. Attention, Al Gore.
No, seriously, who even knew they had wind over there? I mean, I thought that... I guess I only think of... I think of hurricanes hitting the whole world, but I only think of tornadoes hitting southern America. It never even occurred to me that you could have tornadoes elsewhere.
Looks like England's about to turn into a giant Kansas.
A giant mobile.
Not that we weren't warned.
Suddenly they'll have their own Selma. All right, fantastic. There's your battle watch for a Thursday.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Oh, it just becomes more ironic every day, doesn't it? CJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello!
Okay, well, I was on my way to work early this morning. I was listening to NPR, and what was interesting is that you're talking about GPSs and everything. They were talking about an ambulance got lost in Britain, transporting a mental patient from one hospital to another hospital 10 miles away.
That sounds like a recipe for hilarity.
Well, what ended up happening is that
they
relied on their GPS so much that they ended up 200 miles in the wrong direction before they realized that they weren't where they were supposed to be.
That can't possibly be true. Their ambulance... So the hospital was how far away?
10 miles away from their point of origin.
And they ended up... they realized they were going the wrong direction after how long?
200 miles.
Tim, how long does it take to drive 200 miles?
I don't know, but this was on NPR this morning before
3.5 to 4 hours.
So you would have me believe that it took them 4 hours to realize they had not gone 10 miles?
And Britain's an island. Eventually you would drive off it.
Wouldn't you be in Ireland by that point?
Oh.
I don't mean to cast aspersions on NPR's credibility, CJ, but it does seem like perhaps someone has fed them a fib.
I'm just relaying the information.
I don't feel like you truly are appreciating the hilarity, though, of a lost ambulance filled with mental patients.
Well, on a side note that has nothing to do with this,
yeah.
Your idea on on like a Die Hard situation.
Was there something about it on PBS?
Oh no, I read an article about like this.
In the New Republic,
Scientific American.
Let the man talk, Rick.
I'm sorry.
I read about it in a magazine. I don't even remember where
Was the magazine Omni?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember. It was like 6 months ago. And a bank in Spain was refurbished to be like, I don't know, but the adult version of a Discovery Zone or something where you did pretty much exactly what you were describing.
Thank you, CJ. And if you find that article, pass it along to me, please.
Yeah, I was going to email it to you if I could find it.
Yes, it is. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
Right.
Thank you, CJ. Does CJ stand for something?
Charles
Jerome.
Christopher Jacob.
Charles John.
I was half right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
We have assistance, please, at row number one for toilet seat.
All right, there you go. Thank you, CJ. Boy, but now look, I don't mean to cast aspersions on CJ, but I'm just saying, can't you tell sometimes a second and a half into a conversation when someone is like, you're just speaking to some Mensa brainiac. And I don't mean that ironically. I don't mean Mensa the way we usually mean it, which is that it's a retard. Sometimes you can tell about 2 seconds in that you were talking to a guy whose IQ could boil water. He had gotten about 5 words out, and I realized that I can never play chess against that guy because he would hose me. You can just tell sometimes. All right. Here's...
He was sketching schematics for a new space shuttle.
Seriously, I was... Well, and you know he was listening to NPR, as he was in the basement wiring together a hovercraft with things like... that he had made together out of orange juice concentrate cans and baling tin.
Here's Tim Riley.
Time now for the joy of Christmas.
Oh, fantastic. Another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas, kids.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry
Christmas shopping in Massachusetts, shall we?
Let's.
As a Framingham grandmother pled not guilty in Framingham District Court yesterday, charged with shoplifting in a Walmart using her grandchildren as decoys.
Fantastic.
Eudina Lopes said her daughters were arrested and charged with stealing more than $1,200 worth of goods.
What's her name?
Eudina Lopes.
Sometimes she ambles, but mostly she lopes.
Prosecutors allege grandma stuffed electronics down the pants of her grandchildren.
They were selecting items from the shelves, and taking the children and sliding some of these items into their clothing, basically using the kids as tools of theft.
Hold very still, Grandma needs to shove some electronic
items
into your
pants. However, Eugenio Lopes' lawyer says since they speak Spanish, the confusion resulted from a language barrier.
Of course. The items weren't really in pants. Because, of course, pants in Spain are worn on your head and shoes on your hands. Plus, everybody walks backwards. And they travel to school on zebras.
Meanwhile, the suburban mall suspended all visits with its Santa Claus after learning a photographer taking pictures with children on St. Nick's lap was a registered sex offender from Indiana, the worst kind. Early, police contacted Jonathan Yeoman, an employee of the company that runs the Westminster Santa Claus display, after receiving a tip from a Denver TV station... knowing that a registered sex offender was potentially working with children at the Santa Claus display, we quickly checked it out. We don't know for sure if there have been any violation. As of right now, it doesn't look like there is. Yeoman is listed as a lifetime notification offender with the Indiana Sheriff's Sex Registry. For a 1992 commission of child molestation, he served 6 years of a 10-year sentence. The mall management released a statement saying... The Santa Center has been closed this afternoon until further notice.
No explanation given. Who wants to bounce up and down repeatedly on Santa's lap?
Christmas in Texas. A Texas man found dead after falling from a balcony while trying to hang Christmas lights from his apartment. Police say Morris Alexander fell from the third floor balcony trying to finish what his friend said was his yearly tradition. Festive holiday decorations could only be seen partly hung from his balcony. Neighbor said he was using a step ladder alone when he slipped and fell. Police were called after a neighbor found him hanging in the grass below. Who could expect someone to be hanging lights when they passed away? Asked the neighbor.
Morris was hung from the...
Chimney with care.
You totally beat me to it. Morris was hung from the long grass with care.
Last week on two separate occasions in North Texas, 2 men fell while hanging lights. Doctors believe both men will be paralyzed for life. You're advised to use the buddy system when hanging lights using a ladder, especially if you're in Texas.
God bless us, everyone.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
I can't feel my legs.
Happy New Year.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's cold and flu season again, and experts are giving some familiar advice on how to battle the ailments. Dr. Stephanie Ferrari of the Oklahoma Cold Center says there's no way to keep from getting a cold.
The cold, unfortunately, there is no way to really prevent it. There's no vaccine out there, so really the washing your hands, because there's over 200 different viruses that can cause the cold. So there's a sort of hard way to come up with a vaccine for that, unlike the flu.
Really? Why is it that you have a job? And why is there an Oklahoma Cold Center?
I was just going to say, so basically your job is pointless.
Right.
Really, she can do nothing. Couldn't her job be accomplished by, say, an answering machine that...
Thank you for calling the Oklahoma Cold Center. There is no cure for the common cold, nor shall there ever be.
Leave a message. Good day to you.
Sounds like one of those pork barrel federal government projects, doesn't it?
Really? Why in the name of... Oh, God, I don't even want to know how much she makes.
Chicken soup is good because it helps the body.
Is this really a new story?
The heat and the steam from that helps with the congestion.
Well,
so
thanks.
Similarly, some people might use a vaporizer or a humidifier to help with that, to sort of clear up our congestion. That's really the way that the chicken soup works as far as an alternative remedy.
This is copyright 2006, Metro Networks Communication and Westwood One Company. Don't anyone dare to steal this story.
Except it's not. You know that this story was copyright like 19... She's probably dead. That's probably the same soundbite they've been using since the Carter administration.
Swept up from a twister.
Seriously. So forth and whatnot. Okay. This just in, Rick Emerson is being an enormous dick to the OPB dude. Thank you, Pamela. I appreciate it. Rick, the show loves you as well. Here's Tim Riley.
The nominations are out for the 49th Annual Grammy Awards. This apparently is the one that matters. Musical star Marielle Blige, Justin Timberlake, and Rascal Flatts are among the artists on hand in Hollywood this morning to announce the nominations for the upcoming awards ceremony.
For Album of the Year, the nominees are...
Okay, as we go through these, let's see if any of us has even heard of an... I don't even know when the... I can feel myself having to gear up energy to even care about this. This is... What month is this? December?
December.
So are these albums that have to come out in this last calendar year?
I believe so, yes.
All right. So let's see if any of us have heard of any of these records or even own anything that's being nominated. Let's see exactly... Let's answer the question, how far out of touch is the Rick Emerson Radio Show?
For Album of the Year, the nominees are Dixie Chicks for Taking the Long Way.
All right, I have that one.
Gnarls Barkley for Street... St. Elsewhere.
Ooh.
John Mayer for Continuum.
I know.
Red Hot Chili Peppers for Stadium.
Huh?
Arcadium. Justin Timberlake for Future Sex.
He'll win.
Love Sound.
You totally know he'll win.
Even though it's garbage.
Yeah. That's what I like about you, Tim Riley. You just boil things down to their base element. You bottom line it.
People like garbage and mediocrity.
They totally do.
Aiming for adequate.
Don't put any thought into anything, for goodness sake.
I just don't understand why people think Justin Timberlake's so cool. I mean, he dresses like Michael Jackson.
Well,
you
but
know
that's
that he
the
was,
thing.
They're trying to make him look scuzzy after being a mama's boy all his life.
Well, that's the thing. He's a relentless Jackson imitator. And the world... But the thing is...
And just an ugly little man.
Is he an ugly little man?
I don't find...
To make him look uglier than they used to. And they're succeeding.
They're just going to hold him then and kick him for
he
a while.
He just seems like an ass. And so does his girlfriend. Like, I really have no interest Justin Timberlake or Cameron Diaz.
She totally sees people next Tuesday. That girl, I don't care for her at all. Rick Emerson does not approve. The thing about Justin Timberlake, he is really just lucked out, though. Because he was very lucky in that... He came along at a time when Michael Jackson himself had just fallen out of the spotlight musically for good.
It's good corporate packaging.
Yeah, and so they're just they saw a void. That's
right.
The thing. They saw a void and an opening, and they just said, "Okay, we're going to get rid of you, Jackson. We're going to give you Timberlake. This year, you're listening to Timberlake."
And George Michael returned to England, so
yeah, that's the thing. There wasn't anybody like Justin Timberlake around. They just saw a chance, and you know, so he's just one of those things that like some. There used to be this television show called Spitting Image. Well, it is in Britain. They tried to do it in America for a while, and it didn't really work. But Spitting Image had this great content. It was a puppet show, but it doesn't really give it... If you know the show I'm talking about, then you know what I mean. The puppets from the Genesis Land of Confusion video. They're sort of rubbery caricature kind of puppets. Anyway, they had this great plot on an episode of Spitting Image where... There was a group called the Famous Corporation, and the Famous Corporation was a group of people who lived inside the nose of Lincoln on Mount Rushmore, I think it was, or whatever. Anyway, but they were the conceit was it was just a bunch of people who sat around a table and voted on everything that was going to happen everywhere. Every year, they would just sit down and they would just take a vote on who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to win, you know, what's the biggest movie going to be, who's going to be famous, who's not going to be. And that's what happens with this, and they just decided this year it was Justin Timberlake. They just switched Justin Timberlake fame to on. They just decided he was going to be huge. So I didn't even listen to the rest of those. I have. I only really know that one hideous Red Hot Chili Pepper song, which is clearly stolen, by the way, from Mary Jane's Last Dance by Tom Petty. I'm looking in your direction, Red Hot Chili Peppers. You really ought to be paying Tom Petty some royalties on that song if you're not already.
Here are the nominations for Song of the Year.
Oh, God.
For Song of the Year... The nominations are
Be Without You by Mary J. Blige. Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood.
Are you kidding me?
Not Ready to Make Nice by Dixie Chicks. Put Your Records On by Corrine Bailey Rae. And last, You're Beautiful by James Blunt.
Did you hear how there's just immediately
mutual
like,
regurgitation.
Immediately. Wait, hold on. Last night's dinner. The that Dixie Chicks song.
We just swallowed a little vomit.
That Dixie Chicks song is fantastic. It really ought to win.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it will or not. The line that everyone has been fed is, of course...
It's not a very good song, but we'll surely play something off the album.
We'd love to play something by the Dixie Chicks, if only they had a song that tested well and had a strong hook to it. Our refusal to play this Dixie Chicks song has nothing to do with the political content. It's just not catchy.
Comes to our knowledge going back to 1978.
So that song really ought to win. What was the other
nomination? For Song of the Year, the nominations are Be Without You by Mary J. Blige, Jesus Take the Wheel by...
Oh, that's the one. Jesus Jab Out My Goddamn Eardrums. That's what that song should be called.
Who is that by?
Jesus Strike Me Deaf So I Never Have to Hear That Goddamn... What?
Who
Carrie
is that?
Underwood?
Oh.
It's, you know, Jesus Take the Wheel. You've heard that 500... How is it that you work in this building? Oh, count your blessings.
I think you turn it down every time you hear it. Seriously.
Yeah, the only time I hear country music is when I'm in the bathroom, when it's blasting in there, and then usually we just come in and we make fun of it, and that's it. I never know who's actually singing.
Well, that's what it's good for. I'm being facetious, mind you.
Do we have a sister's play to run over what the toilet seat?
Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir. Oh, God. Wait, hold on. Hello.
Hello.
That's instant karma. You know, that's instant radio karma right there. We made fun of the other radio station, and now God has struck me. Maybe God really did strike me deaf. I was just asking Jesus to strike me deaf. Hello.
No.
I've gone deaf!
Oh. And I did the engineer thing.
Oh, the humanity! Wait, hold on a second, Ryan. All right. Hello.
Hello.
Maybe his phone?
No.
There have been too many phones
really,
like
do
this.
You, yeah. Do you really, when you say maybe it's his phone, that's kind of thing where you go, maybe it's benign. You don't really believe that.
What's the phone number?
For what? Ryan, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. You stay right there. What is the phone number? 503-733-2970.
All right, I'm going to call.
I think all Scotty right. J will screen your call.
Scotty, don't pick up the phone.
Scotty J will, hello there. Hi.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, fantastic.
I think your phone is bad, too.
Yes.
I suppose that could happen.
He hates these cans. Stay away from the cans. Okay.
Well, I guess we can do something else than the talk show.
Scotty.
Oh, my God. Have we not taken our 20?
Scotty J is going to note that he is.
Okay, we've got a break.
Scotty's getting an engineer. I think
all
the
engineers went to lunch.
Let's just have a
they
little.
Did.
I think we should have a little tent in the corner studio where an engineer lives. Please now.
There was one under the counter earlier, but I think he's gone.
I would like.
I tripped over one on the way in.
I would like now for an engineer just to move into the studio and stay here. It's 503-7. Ryan, don't go anywhere. We'll need to experiment on you in a moment. It is in manner of a guinea pig. It's 503-733-2970. And he does apparently have a wacky hanging Christmas light story. It's unclear about whether it involves paralysis, but we'll find out. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In mere seconds, we rejoin Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Sarah, do you have a quarter?
It's for the bus.
Coin? Oh. Well, I just
need it back?
No, I'm just wondering what the odds are that if I pick up one of these calls, it's going to work.
Oh, no.
Listen to that. Just like the... Oh, no. honey.
Well, what did we do during the break? We talked about Lindsay Lohan. We didn't do anything to the phone. It's not working.
No, I got
to
find out. All right. We've got to... Okay, we've got these guys who are on hold here, so I'm going to, just for my own amusement, just for grins, as they say, I'm going to attempt to...
Who's on the hotline?
Oh, I don't know. I'm really incapable of finding out, too, because if I pick it up, I won't be able to hear them. So that's an interesting question and one that I can't answer. In a parallel universe, there's another Rick who's able to pick up the phone and talk to people. Let's see here. Jim, hello. Hello. Jim.
Why are you even trying? You're just going to frustrate yourself.
Well, see, now I'm wondering if maybe... Well, see, because Jim hasn't said anything. Maybe them phones are magically fixed. All right. Well, Jim's gone away. Hello there.
Yeah.
Now it's fixed. Good God almighty.
I did jiggle some buttons in here, though.
So it's really just about jiggling the buttons.
It's about jiggles.
It's all... Let me jiggle your buttons. See, I say that, and there's X number of people in the audience that are terrified and creeped out by that because they don't know what I'm referencing. All right. Hey, Scotty, who's this on the hotline?
This is Ryan.
No.
Oh, on the hotline, sorry.
And you're also not named Scotty. No. Scotty, who is on the hotline? Just speaking to no one.
Scotty J. Who is on the hotline?
Maybe the front desk has given out the hotline number again.
Probably. Engineer. He doesn't have a name. All right, Ryan, hold on a second. Ryan, don't go anywhere. I want you to stay right there. Hello, Rick Emerson. Who is this?
It's Jeff, Rick.
Hi, Jeff. How's your day going?
Huh?
How's your day going?
Oh, it's going great. Apparently, you guys are having a great day, too, huh?
Well, you know, I like to believe that this is sort of, you know what it is? This is sort of the radio version of one of those obstacle courses that they put you through, you know, in the... Now, I'm trying to make an analogy, and it's not coming together there. Now, here's what's happening. I will describe the symptoms, the symptomology of this. Every so often, this happened for a while yesterday, earlier this morning, mm-hmm. and then it happened early at the top of the, I don't know, about the bottom of the hour, rather, where we would pick up a phone call, and it was very, very far away, small and crackly, as though it was not quite making contact somehow on the board.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that problem, I think, has now gone away again, but it is returning sporadically, just so you're aware of that situation.
Okay. Well, what I want Sarah to do is that when that happens, keep popping the program and audition buttons.
Okay, that's what I did.
As soon as you guys get off the air, I'll come over and fix that problem, too.
All right. Thank you, sir.
The best I can do, you know, and hey, if you need me, give me a call.
No. I was right when I said I jiggled the buttons during the break.
Oh, no, I was not saying that facetiously. An astonishing number of things in radio can just be fixed by either a swift kick or really just jabbing.
Just pull a Fonzie, but make sure you do the A when you hit it and just nail it. Hit it with your fist.
And just jabbing a button relentlessly. All right.
That's it.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'll talk to you guys later.
No, that's Engineer Jeff there. Thank you.
Oh, so that was a real employee.
Well, I hope.
I like Jeff. He's so angry/funny.
No, it is.
He has like this under. He has this undercurrent of seething rage every time you see him.
Yeah, yeah. No, Jeff is Jeff. Engineer Jeff is one of those guys. You were exactly
that's
right
a
about
thankless
that.
Job.
No, it's true. It's true. Being an engineer is the worst job, and I don't mean that they're bad people. I mean it's a terrible job to have because you are surrounded by
unhappy people.
Well, and let's just say it's salespeople who don't know how to, who only know how to break things. They don't know. Salespeople don't know how to build. They only know how to destroy. And salespeople are constantly.
A big vat of coffee into the transmitter. Why are we up the air?
Engineers, and the other thing, it's totally true, and here's the other thing about engineers, God love them, and I mean that sincerely, engineers are always having to deal with people who are like 1/50th as smart as they are, and people whose sole function is to come into the studio and break things in new and interesting ways. We used to work with somebody, and I'm not going to identify who this is, except to say
it could be several people.
No, this couldn't. This was Chuck Knopf. I'm only going to identify him as Chuck Knopf, former newsman at a station we used to work at, who, if I'm remembering the story correctly, spilled an entire pint of orange juice into the mixing board. And control, you all know what a mixing board looks like. I mean, it looks like you've seen it on television a million times. It's just a big flat panel with a bunch of little slider switches on it. I mean, it's Chuck Knopp on a Friday. On a Friday! Spills like a big, it wasn't a quart, but it was like one of those big, you know, bottles, those big breakfast bottles of orange juice directly into the control board. This happens on a Friday. Now, control boards are very warm, and they're filled with, what do you call it, electronic stuff. He spills the whole thing of orange juice into the control board, and then this is Chuck's thought process. I'll just leave. And by the time I come in Monday morning, this will have magically fixed itself. Just note to anybody out there who does this. The problem does not just magically fix itself. That doesn't ever happen. And, you know, and then there's all the sales people. Like, I don't know. I left my computer alone for 12 minutes and I came back and there's some kind of a black screen. I don't know how to fix it. Can you please assist me with this? And you understand why people become the way Jeff is. And you totally nailed it. You know what Jeff is in engineering? Jeff is sort of a coiled spring. You know, he's like a capacitor, fully charged with energy. And when I say energy, I mean a deep killing rage. And he'll kill you with a smile too. He will be someday when he snaps. He will be smiling, and he'll have a huge 1,000-watt grin on his face as he is cutting off your head. Not us, because we respect him deeply, and I mean that sincerely.
And Jeff and Jeremy, good team.
They really are. They ought to solve crime when they're not here. There's a girl, they can go out and they wear tight pants and they track down ne'er-do-wells.
Maybe they do.
Okay, now the show is just going completely off the rails here, but I do feel like having picked up Ryan's call about 9 different times simply as a method of experimenting with the phone, let's pick it up now and actually find out what he was going to share with us. Ryan, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, how are things going with you?
Other than sitting at home for 25 minutes, not bad.
All right, let's not start off the phone call with a bunch of carping, friend. That's not going to get you anywhere. All right, how can we help you?
I had a great pain of Christmas lights story to brighten your day.
Okay, to brighten my... Thank you.
To brighten my day.
Thank you, Wade. I wasn't... I didn't know we were going to be engaging that sort of humor in this call. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I worked with a guy that was hanging his Christmas lights, I think it was 2 Christmases ago.
Uh-huh.
Him and his fiance had just bought a 2-story house, and he was hanging the Christmas lights from the gutter on the 2nd story.
Yeah.
And the ladder went out sideways, and he was hanging on the gutter for about 20 minutes. Couldn't hold on any longer. Dropped to the concrete pad below. Destroyed one of his ankles. Just completely pulverized it. And when he was going through about his 4th surgery, his wife left him.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Was worth the 25 minutes, so we don't say that to a lot of people. All right. Thank you, Ryan. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Dick Clark is enjoying the holidays as much as could be expected. He'll be on television again for New Year's Rocking Eve. Ryan Seacrest says, nothing will keep Clark down.
Oh, okay.
He's a very determined individual. He wants to be able to do everything that he's been doing. And he's been working at that each and every day. I mean, the guy takes the show very seriously.
Everything he's been doing, being drooling a little bit and having it daubed away by a wet nurse.
We'll be thrilled to see Dick Clark on New Year's Rocking Eve.
It actually made me more comfortable to have him there. It's his show. It's his platform. He's been doing it for so long. And I think it made it much easier for me to know that he was there to carry what he was going to carry.
I look positively lifelike by comparison.
Yes, Dick Clark's health continues to improve as the hours go on.
I think he's definitely improved. I think he's improved since we've seen him at the Emmys. And I think that, you know, he's obviously still recovering. But I think you'll see improvement on the New Year's Eve show.
Okay, this you can tell the sections where he's beginning to lie here. You can tell it's these little... Because Ryan Seacrest, that's who this is, right?
Yeah.
Ryan, what everyone says about Ryan Seacrest...
He eventually gets everyone's job.
He does.
He'll be here one of these days.
Tim says that and people laugh. You're going to tune in someday, and that's what it's going to be, man. From 11 to 3, it's going to be Ryan Seacrest sitting here speaking to Carrie Underwood, probably. He has a smooth delivery, not interesting or colorful in any way, and it doesn't really hold your attention. And
it's as mediocre as a...
He really is like listening.
He's the Justin Timberlake of radio.
It is the sound of tapioca being spooned into your ear canal by Dick Van Patten.
Plain cornflakes.
But
nothing on them.
I just like a piece of bread and a glass of warm water for dipping.
Some vanilla ice cream, please.
Do you have any Jell-O without sugar? I would just like a bowl of Aspic, please. But when you hear him speak, when Ryan Seacrest speaks, people judge him by the words he uses. The words you choose say a lot about how you are lying about the condition of Dick Clark. You can hear when he is lying. And by lying, I mean he's fibbing. He's taking those little pauses where he's going, like that, and he's trying to conjure up the right imagery that won't lie to you and say that Dick Clark is going to be dancing a jig. That will not be happening.
He may be.
He also doesn't want to say Dick Clark is lying at home immobile on a slab bed in his own waste, which is probably closer to the truth.
I think he's definitely improved. I think he's improved since we've seen him at the Emmys. And I think that he's obviously still recovering, but I think you'll see improvement on the New Year's Eve show.
So we're going to jab him with pins and make him animate.
On a recent visit, he said that Clark was in good spirits.
I saw him 2 weekends ago at a photo shoot, and he seemed like he was really, really relaxed. He was joking with me.
He can't move.
We had several.
It wasn't
laughs.
A photo shoot. It was for X-rays. He was lying on a metal table.
What kind of? I was going to ask. What kind of photo shoot would Dick Clark possibly be doing at this point? I don't understand. Really, seriously. Even I am credulous of many, many things that I shouldn't be. I'm willing to make allowances for the fact that it is show business and reality there is not like reality here and everywhere else. What kind of photo shoot could, and to say that he seemed relaxed, he cannot move. I don't think Dick Clark could seem excited if you set his scrotum on fire.
I don't even want to visualize.
I saw him 2 weekends ago. At a photo shoot, and he seemed like he was really, really relaxed. He was joking with me. We had a good time. We had several laughs.
He found the satin lining of the coffin to be quite comfortable.
He was going through an MRI machine.
That's exactly what a photo shoot. Photos of his spleen and spine. Good God.
It's not yet known how much of this year's broadcast will be Dick Clark's responsibility.
He could call me today and say he wants to do more or less. You can call me that day that we do the broadcast and say the same thing.
Well, at least it would sound like the same thing. Yes. It could be something entirely different, but I don't really know that I'd be able to figure out what it was.
He could call me today and say he wants to do more or less. You can call me that day that we do the broadcast and say the same thing. As I said, it's sort of my job to be there for as much as he needs me for, or as or if he doesn't need me as much.
Okay. My job.
He's people who needs people.
My job to alert the nurses about when his bag begins to overflow. That might have been too far. Let's talk to, let's see here. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, you know. What's up?
Hey, when I was in school getting my FCC first phone license, one of the first things you learn with the Schrader Electronics book is you smack the side of any equipment with the palm of your hand.
That's back in the days of tubes.
That's back when it was like the ENIAC computer was running everything. And
pretty
you had
much,
to have 15 guys in white coats coming in with clipboards to monitor it.
The Gates Yard board.
But it worked.
Totally. Now, when you said, when you were getting your first, what year was that? Have been
1978-79.
You don't even have to get a license anymore, do you?
No,
they got rid of those probably 15 years ago or so.
Sarah, did you have to get your license, your FCC license?
Well, I haven't been in radio 15 years, so no.
Okay, there's no need to be snippy.
I wasn't trying to be snippy. He just finished saying that you haven't had to for 15
years.
But he
might have been. Who knows if he's right about that? I was just double checking.
No, they just plopped me in front of the board, and they're like, we'll pay you $5 an hour.
Yeah, you don't need any licensing anymore.
Do you enjoy starchy foods? So I got my FCC license, but it seems like that was... Then that must have been just at the cutoff point, because I got my FCC license in, like, well, I guess 88, 89, something like that.
That sounds about right. Was it a general or a first phone?
It was, it was like a Class C.
No, right. Probably a third class of the broadcast endorsement. That's what it used to be.
Right.
Maybe. I forget now.
That's what I had.
It was so important to me, by the way. For people that don't know what we're talking about,
I skipped school to get it.
Did you really?
Well, I had to go all the way to Boston, because there was no FCC office in New Hampshire. You actually had to go
to an FCC office and take a test.
How is it possible? Well, they must have changed it then even between when you got it and when I did. Because I got mine in Kennewick. I didn't have to travel anywhere.
Wow.
I got mine in Kennewick, and I was only 15, I think. So
yeah,
I
you had to be 15. That was...
I couldn't have driven.
That was the minimum age back then.
Yeah, I couldn't have driven to get it if my life depended on it.
I took a train.
People were wondering, you used to have...
Take a test.
Was it to run the board? It wasn't just to speed. It was to run the board, right?
And if it was a directional station.
Yeah.
In other words, if it was a directional station, you had to have a first class.
Boy, you know, if he wasn't in Arizona, Bruce Agler would just be burning up the phone lines right now to get in to talk about this. He would totally...
K-O-T-K!
Let me just tell you about the 15 different kinds of licenses that you... But in my FCC license, which again now is meaningless, because they'll let... And please don't take this as no offense. They'll let anybody work at a radio station now. Really, it does. If you have, if you really can walk through a door without setting fire to something, they will let you run a radio station now.
Absolutely.
And but my license at the time was so important to me that I laminated it. I got it laminated at school. I went to the librarian with whom I had a warm relationship, and I said, Mrs. McGee, you laminate my... Look what I got my radio license. I'm a real DJ. Can you laminate this? And she did it. And I carried it in my wallet everywhere. Like some dudes carried a rubber with them. I carried my FCC license in my wallet thinking I would get chicks. It got no chicks. And I don't even know where it is now. I wish I had that thing around.
I have my last one in an old wallet. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Those are fantastic. You don't see those anymore. All right. Scott, did you have other remembrances of times past in radio to share with us?
Well, actually, I never worked in radio. I still work in television, though. And you're right. Any Tom, Dick, Harry off the road, can work now. It's kind of funny.
It's hard to get good help, isn't it?
It really is.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. And we'll take one more here, and then we'll come back. We have Dick Uliano is going to talk about the shuttle. Roop is going to talk about the Grammys. We got to talk. Oh, we'll find step number two in making Scotty J the Oscar Mayer kid. Tim Riley will return here in a moment. And speaking, but we got to do this Carrie Underwood thing later on too. Wilton, hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up,
Tim? Well, let me start this out by saying I love
your show.
This is
gonna be a long call, isn't it? Like you took a breath and you sort of settled in. Okay.
Yeah, I've been listening to tune in for Alan Combs, and there's Rick Emerson.
Tune in for Alan Combs, so you're the one, okay.
I'm the one, yep. Anyway, my question is, why do you hate everything? And why do you spend so much time with comments and gossip and innuendo about stuff that never has really been verified, just going on...
Are you really calling, like, 30 seconds before a break, asking about why we hate stuff?
Well, I didn't know you were about to go to a break. Oh,
this is really, it's just such an in-depth, the answer to this is
I think
just,
there are a number of things we enjoy.
Really?
It's too deep.
We could do maybe on opposite day. There are many things we enjoy. I think it's unfair to say that we hate everything. We just hate things. We hate things that are...
But you don't listen because we love things.
What is that, Beavis and Butthead? We like stuff that is cool, sir. It's merely stuff that sucks that we hate.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what I just mean, it just seems that Mary J. Blige, for example, obviously, if you can't name a song by Mary J. Blige...
I don't hate Mary J. Blige. I'm just saying, I don't really... I hadn't even thought of her in, like, 15 years.
Well, my point, though, is that if you can't name a song by her, then it's obviously, it's not a genre of music or a thing that's your cup of tea. I mean, but the way that you talk about it sometime and other issues...
Am I having to pay you by the hour for this? Do I need to...
Yes, you are. You should be laying down.
Is this where I need to... I sit down and we're going to talk about a transference exercise that we're to engage in anything? Well...
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I understand. You got to move on. But I, as a listener to the show, it just seems that lately...
Where is the love?
There's more gossip. There's more time spent on hating and the depth of Jerry Garcia and... You know, just all kind of
Well,
stuff.
I'm checking my watch. Wait. No, it is 2006. Yes, it's Scotty J's taking the blame. He's saying I forced him to be that way. It really is only because the world is a bad place and getting worse by the moment, sir. All right. There you go. Thank you. What a great way to end the hour.
Thank you.
Well, I think most people do love gossip. Thanks for being a pick-me-up, sir. You don't even know.
I mean,
the pile of stuff we haven't even gotten to. And most of it involving Lindsay Lohan and the Al Gore thing later. All right. So, well, okay, let's get a hold of ourselves. And now we got a break because we're behind. But we got Zig Giuliano. He's coming up in a few. Let's talk about the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got that.
That's positive.
We're so far. I mean, heaven. I mean, you know. At least for another 8 hours.
I hope there's going to be more salacious gossip, thanks, though. Otherwise, I'm not going
to
be listening.
Otherwise, dear advertiser, I found the relentlessly positive nature of your program to be very off-putting. I will no longer be patronizing your sponsors. Well, here's what we got. So we got now I feel like we're going to be oversensitive to it. But this Carrie Underwood thing, I feel compelled to play because Sarah is the one person in the Western Hemisphere that doesn't know the song, and it was not. See, so it is relatable because the Grammys are tonight, and she is nominated.
Okay, well, we don't have to play it right this second.
Oh, no, well, no, because we got a break.
Are they tonight?
Apparently. I think it's what we're talking to Jim Roop about.
Oh. Got out of prison. There's like an award show on every other night.
There really is, true.
Not that we hate the fact that it is.
I hate that fact. So much hate. Peter Carlin's coming up later on as well.
He's a hater.
But we hate the players and the game here at the Rick Emerson Show. We hate the people who made the game. All right. You stay there. Here's David Allen Coe. She got run over by.